南无的父母的圣灵的苏联的人你们妈妈的。
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has via Ramadan, via the means of Ramadan, that most of all, the most important message Allah has delivered to us. Most important message Allah has given to us. Because we are practicing the deen, we're traveling on the deen, moving along the deen, and we just consider that is the deen. And we think it's the right path. And sometimes it occurs that a man, a person, he's going on a journey and he considers that this is the right journey. And he thinks that I'm on the right path, following the right direction, the right route. But in reality, that person isn't on the right path. And he goes astray. So this is a very delicate situation. The human being's life, اِهْدَنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It's not some minor thing. The straight path, اِهْدَنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is such a great statement, such a great fact, that if a person gets the right path and he starts to travel on that path, then it can never be that he does not get to his destination endpoint. This is the right path. So just close your eyes then. You got the sign, you've got the route, you've got the direction where you're going, you become relaxed and easy. But until you don't get to that sign, person's very sort of alert, don't want to miss that sign. I want to get the direction, he's looking here, looking there, left and right. When he sees the sign, he's on the right path, M6 has come, okay, he's relaxed. And he continues to drive the car. Why? Because اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the desire I had, I want the right path, and I've got that straight path. But this path of the deen, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, said he drew the lines, I'm telling you the meaning of this hadith, he drew the line, he said to the Sahaba noble companions that there are many paths, many ways, all of these are ways. Then he drew one straight line, but this is the straight line and the rest of them are the shaitani ways, shaitani paths. So this path, this era that we're passing through, this is the door, the era of azim fitna. The Holy Prophet ﷺ gave warning signs. He gave warning signs about the time of fitna, the day of fitna, the era of the Dajjal, the generation of the Dajjal. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he has 70 signs of that. And all of those completely, we can see them now. All of them are visible, apparent. Person reasonably becomes amazed that we've arrived to that day, that era, that this is happening now, that's also happening now, this was told, this is happening as well, we were foretold this is happening as well. And I will tell you the signs. And then you can assess yourself. Yes, he said that we've arrived to that era, to that generation. We stood at that time, we used to hear that that era will come, that generation will come, Dajjal will come, there will be facade and challenges and trials and fitnas. Tell me in this era, then what is your thought about the right path? How will we attain that? Thousands of ways and paths and these are the signs of those. That a person, he will think that he's on the right path, he's on the correct path, but it won't be the right path, it won't be the straight path. He will have the Quran in his hand. He will have the signs on his forehead of praying, salah. He'll have the marks. He'll have everything. But he will consider that he's on the right path, the straight path. But he will not be on the straight path. Now, I have seen this, to observe this practically. MashaAllah, you are the Jamaat, you're sat down here. I am surprised. I am taken aback because my relationship is in such a way that I speak regularly to great individuals, you know, people who themselves invite others and via those resources that Allah Ta'ala has given to them. So when I speak to them, then at the end they say, forgive me, you are totally right, 100% you're correct. They have to assess. They have to assess themselves. They cry within themselves. It looks like my whole life has gone to waste. And this is the biggest deception of this era of fitna. Why am I confidently speaking so confidently with you? Why am I saying this confidently? Because exactly I attained that straight path that the Quran prescribed. Yes, so I wasn't scared of that. I wasn't afraid of that. The tariqah that the Quran gave to me, the method the Quran gave to me, I may have fallen down in my life. Many times I dropped. Or maybe this person's correct, maybe this person's correct. Because after a lot of hard work, mujahida, you get the result. Allah tests that this man, is he tricking? He's making noise, I'm this, or give me such a path, give me such a path. So Allah Ta'ala first, he grinds a person down, as if you're solid, otherwise he won't accept it. So then Allah eventually gives that, and he attains that. So for this reason I speak confidently, I'm speaking confidently and openly. Always remember one thing, that this path, when you get the right path, the straight path, when you're on the motorway, then you'll become relaxed. But definitely be careful of one thing, that sometimes you'll see a barrier, a construction or roadworks, restrictions, isn't it? They slow you down, don't they? They restrict. Do you understand what I'm saying? Restrictions do come. You are on the right path, but don't be too relaxed. The barriers that are to come, or hurdles or motorway work or an accident or lengthy traffic jam, then what do you do then? So you have to go through those hardships. So the straight path, the right path, person considers, and it may be the straight path, but don't be relaxed. Even then you have to be alert and attentive with regards to what's happening around you, always. So many paths we are confronted with, and in this era of fitnas and all the signs that were foretold, that were told to us, that this fitna will come, this issues will come, the highest position of fitna, then I think more than that has happened now, but not less than the 70 signs in this era today that we're in. So what should we do in this generation? That it's so easy, shaitan makes us to do wrong. He says, oh, you're forgiven, but such severe punishments there are that we cannot imagine the punishments. Yes, so think about this one point, that Ramadan, we cannot forget the favor of Ramadan on us. That how via Ramadan this month, Allah has given us a great message, and He wants that we come out of all of these negatives and vice, and we come towards the right path. So the person that who's stuck in the trap, that he comes out of that trap. Allah gives us the opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, Wahid, Ramadan's objective is this. That Ramadan said that you save yourself from these wrong paths, they will all look to you visibly to be the straight path, but there's only one straight path, and that will take you to the destination always. So look for that path, seek the straight path. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Allah says that I have given you Ramadan, it's not a new thing. Rather, from the beginning of time till the end, I've kept this fasting because I want to give the straight path always, Allah Ta'ala says. I've always got it available, and it's that path through which every salah we ask Allah for this. How important is it that a person doesn't go off the tracks, isn't it? Tell me, that how delicate is a person? He goes off track, he gets deviated. That's why it says that any era of fitna that you are living through, but remember, keep on asking from Allah, keep on, Allah, give me the straight path. It's very difficult for a person to get it himself. And that wrong path, a person who sits on that path, he's on the wrong path, then he gets staunch on that. So very clearly Allah Ta'ala via Ramadan, He to make us understand, for us to practice. Allah says, open your eyes and understand that what is the straight path. So what is Allah Ta'ala defined as the straight path in Ramadan? What has Allah Ta'ala told us? That we keep fast. We say Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. We keep the fast. Fasting is a great thing. There is a lot of thawab for fasting. Allah Ta'ala has filled Ramadan with thawab. So what is the straight path that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in it? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the straight path. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is defined as the straight path, the right path. Yes. What does it mean? That the straight path to attain, Allah Ta'ala says, what is that path? It is the path of taqwa. Taqwa. The person who is the muttaqi, only that person is on the straight path. Only that person. The rest are on the paths of shaitan. So can there be a bigger message than this that Allah has given to us? The whole Quran has been revealed. That this ibadah also, you're hungry, thirsty, you're keeping the fast. There's only one reason for it, that you come onto the straight path. That's the objective. There's no other objective of this. Fasting. So what do we learn? What is the straight path that we ask from Allah? What is the right path? Taqwa, the path of taqwa. To be a muttaqi, whoever becomes a muttaqi, he's observing taqwa, then he's on the straight path. So what is taqwa? What is taqwa? Shall I revise this lesson again with you? What is taqwa? Shall we repeat? Yes, so you understand the first point, don't you? That there are many paths. We are in the era, the generation of fitna. Every man will claim that he's on the straight path. Every sect, every group, every ideology. Someone will show Quran, he'll have the Quran in his hand. And now we've got Mr. Google. He will give you all fatwas you need. Every answer, tick tick type. And everything will come in front of you. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you what is the straight path. I'll tell you nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. Taqwa. Taqwa. Fear of Allah. That's the straight path. If you have taqwa, you're a muttaqi. So what is taqwa now? That's the question. What do we define as taqwa? Who is a muttaqi? Muttaqi is that person who with his desires, he started a fight with his desires. Subhanallah. He is the muttaqi. So your base desires, your carnal desires, your inner desires that are inside you, okay? When you start fighting with them, the battle with your desires, then consider you on the path of taqwa, you are a muttaqi. So this is such a big message, and it's such a big task to be a muttaqi. It's such a big task. In other words, your nafsiyati desires, you have to fight with them, battle with them. This is such a big task, such a big duty. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, that is jihad akbar. It is the higher struggle. Understand that. What does that mean? That the worldly clashes, physical fights and enemies in the world, etc., that you can maybe overcome those. You can maybe overcome the opposition to you in the world, but to beat the nafs is the biggest achievement, to fight your own desires. To this extent, listen to this, that any man, obviously you can break the idols, you can throw the idols away, and you can leave disbelief and not having faith, and you can believe in Allah. This is a minor thing. Even then this is a minor thing, a minor achievement. The bigger action than this, the bigger action is that your desires to break the idols of your desires and to become a strong Muslim. That's the bigger achievement. The visible physical idols, to break them, to destroy the physical gods, you become a Muslim. He becomes a Muslim. Yes, just a Muslim. But your inner idols, when you break them, the inner ghosts and idols, when you worship them, when you break them, then you'll become a proper Muslim. A solid Muslim. And who will go into Jannah? The proper solid Muslim will go into Jannah. Not just a Muslim. لا يؤمنوا. He is not a believer. لا يؤمنوا حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولدي وبلدي والناس أجمعين. Solid true Muslim is that person. Remember this point. Solid true Muslim is he who, the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yes. That for example, a Muslim said, "I broke the idols. I'm a believer now. I've become a Muslim. I've recited the kalima." That's fine. That's the base level. Everything you're doing. But the true solid Muslim is your idols inside you when you break them. The idols are, then you recite this kalima, then that human being becomes the Muslim on the ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This is the dawah that Ramadan is inviting us to. You've kept the fast, become a solid true Muslim. You are Muslim. Before Ramadan you used to pray, hajj, you did these actions, worship, tasbih, dhikr, everything you did. But Allah says, I gave you fasting to become the solid true Muslim, proper Muslim, via Ramadan. So this is the invitation to be a solid believer, solid iman. Without this, you can't say you're on Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Big message. So tell me now. There's such a big duty, task Allah has given to us. That inside you, you have to clash with yourself inside, fight your desires, your carnal desires. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, what a great king, what a great Nabi, prophet of Allah. And he said a statement, fantastic. He said that, you know, this kingdom you sing of mine, and to take this kingdom is easy, to overtake this kingdom. But when a person overcomes his nafs and is victorious with his desires, he is the sole one person who can take over the whole world. What a great statement. So much powerful he becomes, so much energetic, so much power and energy he attains, that no one in the dunya can challenge him or make him lose, because his power increases. Subhanallah. So insan, the human being, mu'min believer, becomes at that time what he is. He becomes capable of paradise at that time. And he gets a reward, and he is the owner of the reward of his sujood at that time. And his ibadah, he is justified that he can take the rewards at that time when he stops worshipping the other gods. And not the physical gods, oh, I don't believe in this idol, I don't believe this Muslim is this, this is our religion. That's all there. That's fine. But true Muslim, you haven't become yet. Inside you, you still have the gods, the lords inside you. There's a God that we keep on worshipping inside us. A devta. And we follow our desires and we obey our desires. So this religion, the deen that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Allah Ta'ala is running that alongside the desires. There are desires alongside our deen, in parallel with our deen. At the same time, everything we say, I'm not enjoying. And this enjoyment is your desires. You just say, we won't do dhikr until we don't get enjoyment. We want to do muraqabah, I don't feel like it, my heart doesn't feel like it, so I leave muraqabah. Oh, salah, I don't feel like praying salah, I don't feel like doing dua, so I just reduce the dua. My heart, I don't feel like it. Allah says, this is your biggest desire, that your heart doesn't feel like it. What is it? This is your desires. So instead of the enjoyment is the second thing. What is that? Hukum ilahi, order of the creator. That is what replaces what your heart feels like doing. Allah's order. We are servants, slaves of His orders. We are men and women who are slaves of Allah. We cannot make our own decisions. The orders Allah has made incumbent on us, He sent those orders to us. He sent those orders with us. Wake up this time, stay awake this time, sleep this time, eat this much, do this, X, Y, Z. After this, don't do this, you should do this. That's our timetable. Allah has already issued it to us. We've got it. One salah to pray, that we make a timetable, we print it, stick it up, we tell people, we advertise it, we sell it. Why? For salah. So Allah Ta'ala says, your whole life timetable, I've made you my servant, my creation. Have I not given you a timetable? Allah says, of course He's given us a timetable. A schedule, all ibadat Allah wants us to implement. Five times salah, you do sajda, for that you type up a timetable, you make announcements and timetables, you don't go 1 minute ahead or below that. 2 minutes, if you're 1 minute late, then all masjid is looking at him, why has he come late, Mulana Sahib? This is what happens, isn't it? Everyone's staring at him. Yes, he's not thinking that there could be a reason. Maybe there was some issue on the way, some tragedy or some accident. He's a human being, can get a bit late sometimes. But no, people don't take it, they don't accept it. Yes, because they're punctual for doing this action. This is just one ibadah. Allah says, your whole life that you have to do ibadah. Is there no timetable for that believer? Allah has made us. خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I made you for worship. If you make a timetable for salah, what about all the ibadah you human being have been sent to the world to? Is there no timetable of your life? You don't understand what I'm saying? Subhanallah. Yes, we aren't without a timetable. Top to bottom, we have a schedule. Every second, minute is recorded. You have to do this. Not one inch can we follow with our desires. This is the reason Allah sent us to this world. That not 1 minute, not a second, split second can you do with your own desires. So when you come to paradise, subhanallah, then there's no action that will be done without your desire. Subhanallah. Contrast. There, everything will be done according to your desires in the hereafter. Whatever desire you have will be implemented immediately. That desire to fulfill it, that's the place. And here is the place to crush the desires, planet Earth. Crush the desires. Allahu Akbar. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so this is called deen. Deen. No, let's follow our desires at the same time. Let's practice deen at the same time. I want to do what I feel like doing, and I want to wake up when I feel like it. I want to work where I want to, and I'll make halal what I want, and I'll turn what is haram according to my desires, and I'll do what I feel like doing. Don't tell me. And then we want to follow our desires. How can this be? How can this be? Allah Ta'ala says clearly, He's given us examples that this is a jail that you're in. It's like a prison cell. You're in a prison cell. Allah's given an example that this is a prison cell you're living in, restricted, confined. So, example Allah gave how? How did Allah demonstrate this with an example? What do we call this? The prison cell. The jail. So that we can understand, what is a prisoner? A prisoner, can he do according to his desire in the cell? In the jail, when you see him, when they give the food, he'll eat. When they don't, if they give him sweet, he'll give sweet. If it's bitter, he'll have to eat the bitter. He can't do what he wants without what's given to him, what's told to him. So, Allah Ta'ala says, you also consider where you are as the prison cell. Restriction. So this is called tattaqoon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. This is the deen. Has anyone got this deen? Alhamdulillah, then he's successful if he's got this deen. Tell me now, how many people are practicing this path? Ramadan, we're not practicing it. This is the purpose that Ramadan was given us for. And we've just put our own sort of plans and ideology. We just have filled. Allah Ta'ala has not said don't do ibadah, do ibadah, worship. Because Allah is encouraging us to do that. That when insan, here's a pointer. When an insan, a point, when he makes a target, to get to that target, he makes effort and works hard, okay? Yes, this one, let me speak, is too strong, this light, please. Close this light. Put some cloth in front of it. No, it's not worked. Put something else in front of it. So, yes, good point. Allah Ta'ala put into my mind that we have all been ordained in Ramadan just one. What is that? That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to us, and that is that you need to become a muttaqi in Ramadan. What does that mean? Do you understand the meaning now, isn't it? That you need to, your nafs, your desires, you need to crush this idol of your desires and go towards Allah and submit to Allah. This is the main target in Ramadan. The rest of the deeds that we're doing, all the actions that we do, worship and amal we do. Okay, now it's fine. Yes. Yes, okay, right, fine. We can pass the time with this. Yeah, put something down at the lower end as well, below it, please. On this side, yes. Yeah, put some kitab there or something. Yeah. See, look, a little bit of a light still coming in. Yeah, put this in front of the light. So, Allah Ta'ala wants us to do this task. But Allah hasn't prohibited us from doing worship, ibadat, worship. Allah has not stopped us. Allah says, work hard, do worship. But alongside that, was Allah said, that the reward Allah Ta'ala has increased as well. The reward Allah Ta'ala has increased. Why? Because there's a great point here. So we were disturbed a little bit. My words went a bit sort of. So just pay attention to what I'm saying now. So, what is it? What is the reward? Allah says, there's a point here that when the human being, when he is traveling towards his target, his objective, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the other actions he does, Allah increases the reward for him then, on the side. secondary. So this tawadul has increased in all the ibadah, the worship, the rewards increase. Why? Not that you run after worship. Allah says that if you work and hard on the target I've given to you, then you will get all these extra rewards. SubhanAllah. Yes, because you are traveling, you're working hard, you're making effort for the target ultimate that I've given to you. So because you're working hard, I'll give you this reward, a gift. The all the ibadah, the worship you'll do, do a lot of ibadah. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll have increased the thawab for you. Because you're working hard. What do we do? Let's do the action, the target, and say, no, we won't do that, we'll get thawab. Allah says, this won't happen. Do you understand? So this is what we've done. Is that we're not following the target, we're not going towards objective, we're running after thawab, do this much thawab, do this much thawab, do this much thawab. Brothers, thawab, reward will be given to you when you are traveling on the right straight path. Then you'll get the thawab of all these extractions. Very good point. Understand this point. Register this point. Yeah, Allah hasn't said, pray 15 Qurans, read 15 Qurans, this many nafal, thawab, taraweeh, etc. Allah has given rewards. For which reason? Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Because in Ramadan you are making effort to travel on the path of tattaqoon. But that man who doesn't follow the path of tattaqoon, become taqwa and runs after thawab, I don't think so he's going to get any success in Ramadan at all. I don't think so. So what do we need to do? Make your target personal, that Allah, I am traveling on the path to tattaqoon, to become a muttaqi. That's your individual target. Muttaqi, Allah want to become a muttaqi. Now do you understand the importance of this objective? To attain taqwa. What is taqwa? That you suppress your desires, you crush your desires, whatever desires are coming, those desires are coming, filling you in, and Allah is going against Allah's orders, Allah's ahkams. Anything in your life that you are going towards your desires, and forcing you to do actions against Allah's ahkams temporarily, doesn't make any difference, I can't help it, this is what you need to annihilate. Get rid of. That I won't allow this to occur. Only that will happen in my life what Allah wants me to do. I will ask Allah, I will consult with Allah. I'm full of desires, Allah. I will say, no problem. Good desires you've got. Okay, let me ask Sharia now. Is this jais permissible for me to do this? Then the decision will come from that direction. So if the direction is no, if so much loss you can see, your whole life is looking, is drowning. And you say that this is your love for Allah. Is this your love for Allah? Allah is saying prohibited. I can't do the action. I can't do the action. What is this called? The solid, true Muslim. I am a Muslim. Every man becomes a Muslim. It's not a big achievement to become a Muslim. But the real achievement is to become a solid, true Muslim. Proper Muslim. That's the objective. Okay, do you understand? So there's another point here now. That's such a big task. Yes, that is a great task Allah has given to us. There's no other task that we need to crush our base desires. It's not one day job, it's the whole life's job. Suppress them, then they come out again, you crush the desires, comes again. This is such a battle that the battle with the desires will never finish. Say SubhanAllah. The battle with the desires will never finish. The struggle, the clash. So brothers, there may be 10 days of nearly finished of Ramadan, isn't it? Yeah, 20 days are left. So tell me now, in these 10 days, how many of us have become muttaqi? Tell me, how many of us? Amazing. Has anyone become a muttaqi? Can anyone claim after 10 days, I'm a muttaqi now, I'm strong, I heard about taqwa and I've attained it? Many people don't even know what is Ramadan given for. They don't even know yet what Ramadan's given for people. Most people. So here, a point I remember now that I was saying once, it's about today, but even yesterday's discussion I've remembered, yesterday's discussion, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a tariqah, method, how to get there. Allah says, one day, how can you become muttaqi in one day? How will you attain taqwa? How will you become a muttaqi in just a short space of time? Yes, so Allah Ta'ala Himself has told us the method. Allah split Ramadan into three portions, three ashra. Yeah, three portions. Three parts Allah split Ramadan into three ashra. And the first ashra, the first 10 days is what? The 10 days of rahmah, mercy. Yeah? And so the first thing Allah Ta'ala has explained that whenever a human being is traveling on the path of Allah, Allah has given us Ramadan for this. When to travel on the path of Allah, doesn't matter if he's a big sinner, worst person, minor in terms of deen and religion, right at the bottom of the scale, okay? Let's consider a person like that. But even for that person to come to the deen, to come onto the path of deen, nothing to be scared of, nothing to be afraid of, rather the beginning, the initial part, always do with the small actions. Small actions, the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected rahmah for this, His mercy. No punishments. No punishments. Allah selected His rahmah to enable us, to assist us, to help us. And the conclusion of Allah's rahmah is the worst sinful, worst waste of a person starts to fast. Like I gave the examples yesterday. Yes, and he starts to walk on the path. Starts to move. Then whilst he's walking, he becomes capable after 10 days. That inside his heart, alhamdulillah, whilst he's practicing, and he becomes so capable that for the second portion, Allah's kept for the second third of Ramadan is for maghfirah, forgiveness. So qualities are developed in him, and he's aware, let me do tawbah from this, or let me live a good life, and that feeling starts to come to him, subhanAllah. That emotion. Yeah? So he's developing, isn't it? Slowly Allah's pulling him in, pulling the rope in. Allah slowly brings him, puts the light inside his eyes. He says, okay, yaar, I'll fast. Oh, the rest of the year I did wrong. Chalo, I'll keep fast for a few days. I won't pray tarawih. I won't do nothing else. Just keep fast. Just a light order of Allah, he starts to implement. Allah pulls him in, draws him in. Because when from Allah Ta'ala's invitation, he travels, then that path spreads out. And Allah pulls him in. And he's attracted. Allah says, you come one inch, I come a handspan. When you come walking to me, I come running to you. Allah has announced this clearly. So to hear this message, to deliver this message, Ramadan came. It was, this is the message of Ramadan. This is the objective of the three thirds of Ramadan. Allah says, you just need to move a bit. And then I will deliver you to the third of Maghfirah, the second Ashra. He came from where? The darkness. Then he gets to the point of Maghfirah, forgiveness, where it's possible he'll be forgiven. Then his actions will change. Before he said, oh, okay, chalo, let's keep the fast. Then he gets to the second third of Ramadan. Then alhamdulillah, he's got a bit of desire. Let me do those actions that will earn me forgiveness. Allah's subhanAllah muhabbat then awakens. This is the first 10 days he's practicing a little bit, waking up, getting acclimatized. Then he gets to the third of maghfirah, the second ashra. He gets to that point. Then he raises his hands through dua. Allah says, Allah make me namazi. Allah give me tawfiq to keep the bid. Allah, I'm such a sinner. It's hard for me. I can't do it. Dunya. Allah make me your lover. Then he comes to this mode then. He gets to this mode. And about this, Allah Ta'ala brings him to then the third portion of Ramadan. What is that last, final third? Go, you are forgiven, you are free from hell. The third portion of Ramadan. So when he arrives to the third Ashura, the final third of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, the same person was sinful, dark, scattered in the sins. Then the final third, Allah says, you are free from hell. You are successful. SubhanAllah. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system that He has made. So what do we do? Allah has explained that you need to acquire taqwa, you need to live the life of taqwa, then follow this system first. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That what you need to do is fight your nafs, fight your desires, clash with desires. It's not a simple fight. It's not a simple clash. It's a very big struggle. So you have to follow this procedure that I've defined to you to fight with your desires. What do you have to do? That your inner desires, you have lots of desires. So what do you need to do? Is you have to start the fight with your desire. Just start the fight, Allah says. That's then leave it to me, Allah says. Leave it to me. First, Allah, you give your challenge to your desires. Give the challenge to your inner desires. That, I'm not going to live my life with you now. You haven't left anything yet. You're just saying to your nafs, I'm challenging you now, my desires. Verbally. But we don't even say that. We make friendship with the desires. We shake the hands with desires, embrace the desires, and we live the life of desires, and we say, every order of yours. Now what we're going to say is, no, everything you say is wrong. You talk to your nafs. Talk to your nafs that you're going to fight with. Everything you say is not right. I'm not going to listen to you anymore now. So in other words, you start the tussle with the nafs. The clash. Yeah, the wrestle. You're going to start wrestling. So you come into that, because you're in the ashra of rahmah, Allah's mercy. So you start saying, you say, no nafs, I'm not going to obey you anymore. Until I did, yes, but I was a sinner and I've come to this ashra of rahmah, and we are sat forced by our desires. We can't help it. We keep saying, can't help it. We're not solid Muslims yet. We're not proper Muslims yet. Where's taqwa? It hasn't come yet. So taqwa hasn't come yet. So we need to travel towards taqwa. Allah says that that's the main objective, because for the muttaqi I have made Jannah paradise. Jannah is for who? It is for the muttaqi, the God-fearing person, aware person, the Muslim of taqwa, who's attained taqwa. So now this is the point, we have to work now. The three portions of Ramadan Allah has given, the message is given here, that look, my believers, that to get out of your trap, to become good, to become a good human being, to become a muttaqi, a person of taqwa, you need to follow this procedure first. First, accept that I am a slave of my nafs, of my desires. I need to be free from my desires. Then I can be successful thereafter. Make this concept solid in your mind and heart. Rather, don't look after and run after your worship. When amal come, then assess. I'll give you an example. That we start the sheet system, the tawbah system. People don't understand the hikmah, the wisdom of the sheet system. They don't understand the hikmah, the wisdom of a fakir. Of a fakir. This whole Ramadan, we've sealed in the sheet system, isn't it? Yes? So, for example, if I enable you to do sheets, and mashallah, you're implementing the sheets, your assessment. First of all, what comes? Salah, the salah sheet, isn't it? That after that comes what? Salah after salah comes, I think it is your dhikr sheet, is it? After the dhikr sheet is the majlis, the gathering. After majlis comes Quran. After Quran comes what? Sin. So now keep moving. MashaAllah. Follow the sheet system. Now somebody will have a sheet. I'm not saying, I'm just speaking generally. I'm not specifically talking about a certain individual that someone say, oh, Hazrat, I've seen my sheets today. No, this is not the case. Just generally speaking, on the sheet systems, the hikmah, the wisdom, I'm telling you, the wisdom of this system. Salah comes now. MashaAllah. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, Shaykh's watching. Good, good, very good student. MashaAllah, Salah is in a good position. 5-star. You know you get the stars, isn't it? Yeah, has anyone got any stars yet? See, what sort of systems we use now, yeah? 5-star. Award. Recognition. Very good, Salah. Okay, his Salah. He's following that system properly. He's praying his Salah correctly. Okay? Next sheet, let's come to it. What's the next sheet? Dhikr Allah. MashaAllah. Tick, 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 tick. First class dhikr, he's doing it. Good assessment. Next sheet. Third sheet. What is third sheet? Majlis, gathering. Oh, mashallah, he's attending. In person, punctually, online, isn't. In person, first class, good. Sheikh is happy. My teacher's happy. A very good man. He's doing good actions. He's improved. Sheikh, you're presenting your report to your Sheikh, isn't it? Okay, Sheikh is happy. Next, go next. What's the next sheet? What is that? Quran, mashallah, he's reading Quran, very good. Oh, he's a very good person, very good person. So thinking at the end, I'll give him a 5-star. Sheikh's thinking, teacher's thinking. Then conclusion comes of the report now, result. So all of these things that you're doing, amal, the Sheikh is happy, he's pleased, everyone's doing this. So the result of that came out, what? The result will be visible when? In the sins. Because what are they? That is taqwa. The sins define taqwa. These were all amal, deeds. That is the taqwa of the individual. Do you understand the difference? Understand the difference? So amal, you've done all the amal. You've done all the amal. So now really you'll see that is the effect of your amal. Where will we determine that? On the sheets of the sins. That are you, have you rejected the sins that you selected? What's the position, your position with regards to your sins? Because a murid, he can't lie to his sheikh. Whoever lies, he's lying to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he'll have to write the honest truth that I've made a sin, I've done zina. Whoever does this, then he, may Allah forgive. If he doesn't put the right result, he's extremely sinful who lies to his sheikh. Yes, he will write it, isn't it? And you'll get the crosses due to the sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so obviously it will become apparent. If he's lied, he'll have to put the mark there. So what we realize here is that a person has started to pray salam. He started to read Quran. He started to do dhikr, is correct. Everything he's doing correctly. But he hasn't become a muttaqi yet. He hasn't attained taqwa. He's failing with taqwa. Why? Because the real result that we need to attain over all of the worship is taqwa needs to be attained. Taqwa. Do you understand my point? Do you understand my point? So the sheikh, he stopped there, the teacher, and he decides upon what? That his hard work is not good yet. He hasn't got the right conclusion. What should we do? Let's increase his hard work somehow. Let's bring him into control more, because the real effect and result he needs to acquire is that for Allah Ta'ala, the sins he needs to eliminate, the sins. This is what Ramadan is telling us. That Ramadan is, yes, your salah is very good, your taraweeh is very nice, your recitation of the Quran is very good for you. Zakat, sadaqah, you are doing, distributing very nicely. But have you detached yourself from the sins? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So we can't leave the sins, my sins are the same. So then, the result, you haven't got the positive result then at the end of the day. So, the Shi'id system teaches us the same concept. That yet your dhikr is still weak. Still your dhikr is weak. Look towards your dhikr. That you're going to this many majlis, there's something lacking in you. The effects of your work is not good. Otherwise, the effect of your dhikr should be such that inside you the dirt and the sickness should have been eliminated. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is assessment, reflection. Look at the tartib I've given to you, Subhanallah. Is this not the system of Ramadan? Totally the same? So, other people have another Ramadan. The Sufis Ramadan runs the whole year. That same system. We're doing, mashallah, we run with this system throughout the rest of the year. And I'll tell you a good piece of news here. A good thing. This is the message Allah Ta'ala has given. لَعَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So in these 10 days will you become muttaqi? Allah will become a muttaqi in the first 10 days? Allah says, when did I say you'll become muttaqi in the first 10 days? Subhanallah. So understand Allah's message now. The shaykh, when does he say that in the first round of sheets you'll become a muttaqi and you'll leave all the sins? No. The shaykh knows. The teacher knows. That he has to do mujahida, he's got hard work, he needs to make effort. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this is the biggest mujahida. So in reality, you're not filling the sheets. You are doing mujahida with your nafs, you're struggling with your desires. That's what you're doing. Because your salah is correct, your Quran is correct, everything is correct, and you die. You pass away. You'll pass away. Everyone's gonna die, isn't it? So what will you be asked first of all in the hereafter? What will be seen first? First, not just what you did running around. All the sins will come in front. And our grave will be filled with the sins, with the scorpions and with the serpents and the pythons and the snakes. And they'll have the physical appearance of those things. Yes, what will it help us there? Taqwa will help us to save yourself from the sin will help you there in the grave. Yes, the person will say, Allah, I prayed salah, I prayed namaz, I did this. Allah said, you did pray salah. Your salahs weren't correct. There was riya, pretense, showing off, haram, used to consume riba, interest, haram. All of these due to these deficiencies. You did the amal physically, but you didn't get the conclusion of that. Very good point. Register it. Register it. Everything has an effect. That what do you think? That your dhikr has no effect? Do you think the Quran has no effect? The Quran's recitation that you've done, there's no effect. You'll realize that the effects are there, they're present. But what you're doing, you're not doing it in the right way, that action. You're not doing it in the right way. Do you understand my point, what I'm making? So this is a da'wah that will be given. When Allah will see the Shi'a, oh, he did that sin again. Oh, I lied again. Then immediately you'll say again, that my effort is low. But I ask my Shaykh, what should I do more to improve this? So this is the condition. Now listen here what I'm telling to you. The Quran is telling us and Ramadan is telling us. Allah says, definitely I know. For sure I know that you, in these 30 days, how you can become a muttaqi. You can't become a muttaqi. So Allah Ta'ala, you said that Ramadan was given, only his Ramadan will be accepted, only successful is that person when he becomes a muttaqi. Subhanallah. Allah says that you didn't understand this point, that I divided Ramadan into 3/3 and I don't just impose something on the person suddenly. I give you the ability to become good. So what's the message? Is that my order is this, that you need to attain taqwa, you need to become muttaqi, you won't become suddenly, but that individual, every human being, every man who follows this path and comes onto the path, then consider that he's on that path to taqwa. He's on the path to taqwa. Do you understand the point? Understand the point? Whoever in Ramadan makes niyyah and starts the journey, that Allah, this is my objective, my target, I need to save myself from the sins. And I need to follow this path. Then whoever makes this niyyah, intention, he makes that target, then my life, I'm going to live a life without the sins, I want to live my life. That's it. Complete, I'm going to struggle. That any action of Allah that I do in disobedience to Allah, I will not do. I will not do. And you have come onto the path of taqwa. You're traveling on the path. You've initiated. And this is my rahmah, my mercy. I want my servant to start on that journey. When he makes the knee and he starts traveling, then consider that he's arrived to that destination. What an easy formula Allah has given to us. Easy formula. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? So what we have to do is just do this. Whenever you're doing any action, assess. Just start the journey. That's it. Allah's rahmah immediately will enshroud that person. So we need to make the intention. No haram action will I do. All things that haram, that Allah says, that are against my desire. All my action I've done wrong. Whoever's made this niyyah intention, grabbed hold of that path. Quran announces that you have become the muttaqi. You've become the muttaqi. That's it. That's the game. That's the game. That we understand the meaning of Ramadan. We've realized we have to live our life with taqwa. After today, our life, after leaving Ramadan, then we've grabbed our target. We've made a target. Our business, home, wife, children, family, all our affairs we will weigh on the scale of Sharia. If Allah says do it, we'll do it. If Allah says no, we won't do it. We, if a sin comes near to us, we will not embrace it. By chance, if we sin, then we'll run to our sheikh, our teacher, and we'll admit we've done a mistake. Even one atom of haram will not come. We'll get Allah Ta'ala to assist us in this. And this clash and tussle and struggle of life, this running in the life, if he dies, Allah says, I will raise him as a muttaqi, as a person of taqwa. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And this is the sunnah of Allah, our creator. This is sunnat ilahi. Bukhari Sharif, one hadith. It's a unique hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Allah's Nabi said that my Sahaba, let me tell you a story, my companions. Sahih Bukhari hadith, I'm telling you now. Authentic. How the Prophet, sometimes he told stories, sometimes nasheed. Tarbiyah. The meaning of all discussions of mine is that my murids have won their tarbiyah, their improvement. That's his deep desire, the Shaykh. He has a deep desire. Allah save my students from the fire of Jahannam. Such a sheikh, if you attain that, then what a great achievement, huh? If you find a sheikh like that. He is greedy for this, the sheikh. This is the word about Rasulullah. He had a strong desire for his companions to attain success. Haris. So his every sheikh's footsteps, every sheikh, yes, with the nasheed, with the naats, with the words, with the discussions, with the story. Hadith, I'm telling you, what will happen? That somehow I want to make my student a muttaqi on the right path. Say Subhanallah. 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 So how much a person goes astray and deviated, eh? Despite all of this, that his heart becomes like a heart of stone, a rock. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, come my companions, listen to this story. Now this story he shared with his companions to encourage his companions. Sahih Bukhari hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said there was a man. The Holy Prophet ﷺ is sharing this event with his sahaba. Objective is their improvement, the sahaba's development. He said there was a man, and he made an intention to start a business. The Holy Prophet ﷺ is saying this story. You know, like today we have story, people that I want to have a business, I want to run an enterprise. He had no money, this man. So what did he do? I'm telling you the meaning of this hadith. So what he thought was, okay, I'll go to a place, there's a good man, a pious man, he's a sharif man, an upright man, righteous man. Allah's given him wealth, mashallah, he's got money, and the wealth is a ni'mah, treasure. Wealth is not a bad thing, it's Allah's treasure. If you earn halal, permissible way, and away from the greed of the dunya, if you don't have love in your heart for money, wealth, yeah, what is muhabbat? That any action you do, you don't do against sharia to acquire that money. That you don't go to such a place, you don't do actions against Allah's law to acquire that money. You don't go on such a journey, you don't go to such a place, nor do you waste your time. If money comes, oh, I'll do this. Or if money comes, I'll do this. This is haram. This is unlawful. So for that money, you have to live your life within the boundaries of Sharia with that money. Not money's come, oh, enjoy, let's go here, let's do this. Oh, let's stay in that hotel and enjoy. Let's look at those scenes. This is haram. Unlawful. Who gave you money? Allah gave you money for this reason? Yeah, just lavishness. Money is an emma. There were many sahaba who were very wealthy. And they didn't spend money just recklessly in waste of time activities to waste time in lahu lahab, in lust and passion and desires. Allah says, did I tell you, go there and on trips and do waste of time actions with your money? Is this a game, a play, the dunya? Yes, therefore Allah has given you money, wealth, the treasure. Be grateful to Allah and help the poor people, the needy people with that money. That money, understand the objective while He's given you the money, and I consider it as an asset. Definitely Allah has entrusted this money to me and He'll make me spend this money in the right way. Don't start spending yourself. It's Allah's trust that He's given to you that money. Don't waste it down the drain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So that man, Allah's Nabi is talking about this man now. That he's such a man that in his heart he's got love for the creation. That, oh, maybe he'll help me. So let me go to him. Say Subhanallah. He had that desire. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there was a man, there was such a man, a pious man. So he thought, let me go to that pious man, that righteous man. It was an honest era, wasn't it? It wasn't the era of thieves like today. So he said, I'll go to him. That, can you give me some money as a loan? There's nothing wrong with taking a loan. If you have the intention to repay it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes, this is what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us. He said, okay, let me go to him, ask for a loan, get a money and loan so I can start and initiate a business. Startup, do a startup. Enterprise I can feed and provide to my wife and children. So he went to that man. He said that my name is this, I am this, I've heard that you can give a loan. I'm a bit tight, I want to start a business, a bit hard for me at this moment. So can you give me £1,000, example? He said, I don't know you. He said, I don't know you. He said, you don't know me. He said, bring a witness. He said, kafa billahi shahida, wa kafa billahi shahida. Subhanallah, he said, my witness is Allah. Subhanallah. This is a Muslim speaking. Now what a beautiful development of murid, students. The who do you make the witness? Always, your iman should be so strong. You should be full of iman that Allah is closest to me. Allah is closest to me. The woman, you take her from her home and you make Allah your witness. What is nikah? You get married to the sister. What is nikah? Allah is your witness. You take Allah as the witness. Nikah, you're giving shahada, testifying that Allah, you are my witness. I bring this woman to my home. And this woman, I will give her food, I will give her clothes, I will give her clothes to wear, I will protect her, I will look after her, I will buy her the clothes she needs, I will seat her at home within the four walls, protect her. That's it, she'll bring up my children, rear them, and I will give her, provide for her. This is nikah, the contract. Do we do this like this? And do you look around, assess, are we doing this? We bring our wife and we say first to her, go, mother, go and cook the food, or clothe the clothes, and do this action now, mother-in-law says. And, oh, we brought her, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do this action, complaints and complaints. Oh, servants of Allah, what connection does she have with these things? Huh? What connection does she have with these things? How can you use her in the wrong way? You have married her, the sister, and you brought her, and you promised, you made Allah, who's the witness for you? Who's your witness? Allah is your witness. Allah, on Allah's name, this man gave his daughter to you as for your wife. This is Allah's name. On Allah's name, the father gave, here, you brought a line between. And this is called the marriage. So that man, what he should do, the husband, if he wants forgiveness, was you'll be asked this in the hereafter, I tell you right now. That if you want forgiveness, then your connection with your wife should be the same way. Just like you made Allah the witness and you promised that I will give her clothes, food, provisions. You say to the wife, go, you work, you earn, and you do this. And her real function, you don't allow her to do that. Subhanallah. Okay, fine, this is a side topic that just arose. But such a big topic that you make Allah witness. So what did he say? Wa kafa billahi shahida. The man said, I'm asking you for a loan. Allah is my witness. He said, you bore a big witness that he was also a believer, Muslim. He also had iman. He said, you said Allah's name, that he can't lie. He can't lie. Look at this. He didn't show nothing. He said, you said Allah's name. That's it. I've got full yaqeen that you will never go astray. Subhanallah. Look at the tarbiyat Allah gives, that my name is so great. Become mu'mins like this, believers like this. That on Allah's name, everything should occur. That's the biggest achievement. He said, okay, fine. Take this. 1,000 you've asked for. Here's 1,000. And he made Allah the witness and the transaction was agreed. The loan, he said, here, Allah made Allah the witness, and this money I give to you. And he said, okay, I will give this money back to you on this day. This is a Sahih Hadith of Bukhari. He said, okay, fine, give me that back. So he took the money, £1,000, for example. He started a business, enterprise, his business started, he had money. He saw, oh, the time's come. I have to give this money on this day, I have to give this money back. He said, oh, I'm finished. Allah made Allah the witness. He ran with the money. And he lived in another city in between where there was a river. There was a river in between. And he was on the other side of the river. He ran and he went to the river towards the ocean. He said, let me go. Tomorrow. And look how much fikr concern. He closed his shop business. He ran. I promise for tomorrow. Allah made Allah the witness. May Azab not come to me. Now here is nasiha, advice that remember. Whenever you promise somebody in the name of Allah, then you should be like this. I'll give tomorrow, the day after, I haven't got anything, what shall I do, etc. This is haram. You can't be a mutqi like this. Doesn't matter even if you stand in front of the Kaaba and prostrate. Your whole life you can carry on doing this, but this human being can never be accepted in Allah's court. No his hajj, no umrah, no amal, no namaz, no zakat, no his dua, no his Ramadan. Yes, do you understand what I'm saying? Who am I speaking about? Who am I telling you about? Sahih Bukhari hadith. Sahih Bukhari hadith. And Imam, the Imam al-Anbiya is telling us this event. So remember this, this is the iman we should have. The meaning of dhikr is this, that if you have this feeling and emotion, then look at the third thing, those points I mentioned to you, look at the condition emotion, then understand my salah is correct, and their effects good. Otherwise, even if it is, then you're still sinning, then your path is not straight, then consider that the effect is not there, and there's something lacking inside me. I'm a fraudy, I'm a total munafiq, hypocrite. I speak lie, my salah was wrong as well. My salah is wrong as well. Otherwise there should be the effect. And whoever lies there that I've achieved, then there's no bigger disbeliever than that person. There's no bigger disbeliever than that person who lies. He's got the deficiency and he ticks that I didn't do this. I've got not this in me. I've got not this inside me. He's the biggest disbeliever. Munafiq, hypocrite. I'm telling you this. The big task Allah has taken from you to become muttaqi, and is proven through the window of Ramadan. Those who are filling their sheets, Allah has given a guarantee to you. Keep on making your sheets and I will raise you as a muttaqi. Muttaqi. Yes, so will you become muttaqi? Because you're working hard. Yes, what Ramadan is teaching you, your sheikh, he enables you to do this all year long. So do you understand my words? You don't understand what I'm saying. This is tarbiyah, improvement. So sheets, making the sheets is not a minor thing. Just like in Ramadan, you make a niyyah, I'll become a muttaqi. Yes, I will live my life correctly, properly. Do you understand? So in the same way on this niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's giving the certificate of taqwa in the hereafter. So the same people who are filling the sheets, they are doing hard work for taqwa, to attain taqwa. That I don't want to commit the sins. So when you go to the long end sheet, then your whole 40 days should be empty of the sins. The whole 40 days. But the sheikh doesn't mind if you're not achieving that. He's working hard, making effort. Inshallah, one day he'll pass. One day. He's not upset. If, for example, why isn't he stopped lying? Why didn't he stop? No, to be worried. This is a big job, a big task. It's a task for the whole life. His happiness is this, that he's working hard. He's making an attempt. He's on the path. He's understood the point. That I am doing this hard work for taqwa. So do you all fill in the sheets? Like this, those who fill in the sheets, put your hands out. Let me see who's working hard. Yes. So all of you submit your sheets? MashaAllah, very good. So this is the certificate you've got. Mubarak, congratulations. Tomorrow you'll wake up as a muttaqi in the hereafter. What a great reward, good news Allah's Nabi Sallam is giving. Man salamahu lahu? Ramadan. Salamata lahu? Salah. That if you pass your Ramadan with taqwa and you made the intention for taqwa that I'm going to live my life with taqwa and you start working hard, you start that path, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, give you good news, I give you the good news that your whole year, the rest of the year will pass, that you'll be a muttaqi and you will die as a muttaqi. So this intention is a big thing. To move is a big thing. To make the intention and to start moving is the first step. It is the first step. That, for example, you come to the masjid. Did you jump to this masjid? One leap and it got you to this masjid. No. How? First you took a step to get. So this is such a valuable thing. The first step that invites you. Don't fear. I will take you to the top of the heights. So your intention is basically telling you, don't worry. I will take you to the top, to the achievement. I'll take you right to the top. The rest of the stairs, I'll take you, allow you to ascend. So more importance is, most importance is on the first step. First step. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So okay, let's continue with the hadith. Tell me, is it time now? What time is it today to break the fast? 25? 20? 23. Okay, let's stop then. And then we'll continue another time. Inshallah, tomorrow if we remember what I'm saying, then I will continue with this discussion. We will mention this hadith. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارزقنا وتقبل منا وتقبل منا اللهم لا سهل لما جعلته سهلا اللهم لا سهل لما جعلته سهلا اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.